I want you to slip up your hands and prepare your heart for God's word. I feel like preaching. Anybody hungry here today? Okay, that's 12 of you. I said, anybody hungry here today? I feel like preaching. Come on, Court, sing that with me, honey. Hallelujah.
Sing, I trust in God.
Stand for the reading of God's word. Let's look at Acts 28. Any Holy Ghost filled people in the room today? I've been in this series called Aftershocks. Remember, we started in Acts 2 and we've been kind of walking through Acts, and the epicenter, it was the place. Remember, the Bible says they were all in one place, and it's that Greek word epi linked to our English word epicenter. It was the place where the earthquake hit. And everything after that is an aftershock. Everything that's built on the fault line, come on. This church is built on the fault line, come on. And we're linked all the way back to Pentecost. Are there any spirit-filled Pentecostal people in the room that's glad you're in a church like that? But I'll be honest with you. I have been so excited to preach today. I think I might preach your neighbor's wig right off this morning. I don't know, but I couldn't wait to get here. Are you ready for the word? If you're ready for the word, shout, I'm ready. All right, we're looking at Acts 23 and Acts 28, and I'm going to read through 3 and 5. It says here, but when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks. He's just had a shipwreck. He's just been in 14 days of hell in a storm. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened it to his hand. But he shook off the creature. Tell your neighbor, shake it off. Whatever they said about you, shake it off. Whatever the enemy's been trying, shake it off. He's trying to remind you of your past. Do I have anybody ready to shake it off this morning? But he shook the creature into the fire. Watch this. And he suffered no harm. Now, I want you to note that he gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire. I could not wait to get here to preach to you, because the title of my message today is this: Shipwrecked and Shaken, But I Still Built a Fire. You just missed it. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I've been shipwrecked and I've been shaken, but I still built a fire. Can I get one witness in the house? Oh, come on now. I still worship. I still praise. I still sought God. I still gave. I still believed. I kept coming to church. I kept confessing his name. I might have been sick, but I still built a fire. It might have got tough, but do I have any fire builders in the room today? Oh, this is dangerous this morning. I said this is a dangerous word this morning. I love you so. Slip up your hands. Jesus, I thank you that you've given us the capacity when all hell breaks loose to build a fire, to keep worshiping and praising, because we don't let what the enemy does to us and what he tries, we don't let him push us back or cause us to surrender. We just build a fire. Thank you that I'm with fire builders this morning, fire starters, and I want you to move in a mighty way. Here and by live stream around the world, let's give Jesus the ovation of the day. Come on, let's do it. Before you sit down, tell everybody in your neighborhood, I'm building a fire. I'm building a fire. I want you to know where you're sitting today. You're sitting in a room with people who are fire builders and fire starters. I don't know if I'm going to preach to everybody, but I'm going to preach to somebody today. And this word is for everybody in the room who made it through something that should have finished you off. This is for everybody in the room that made it through something that the enemy thought was going to take you out. But you had a touch of the Holy Spirit on your life. You had something that was connected all the way to the upper room. And you made it not by might or not by power, but by the Holy Spirit that was in you. And you've survived today. Now, we started this series, remember, weeks ago. After Pentecost Sunday, we had hundreds of people baptized in the Holy Spirit. You ready for this? With the evidence of speaking in tongues. Come on, somebody. And we started in the upper room, 120 people. Fire fell from heaven. Wind shook the house. And Acts 2 was the epicenter. And anything after that, that was fault line power. That was an aftershock. Everything that we experience in this church, what we are connected to, we're on the fault line. Most people will never build their house close to a fault line, because they don't want to be near the shaking. But I want you to know that every campus we've ever built, including this one, we are built on the fault line. Come on, somebody. We want the shaking of the Holy Spirit. And today, we're going to go to Acts 27 and 28. And I want to talk to you about the worst storm recorded in the entire New Testament. There's a 14-day Mediterranean hurricane and a shipwreck on an island that nobody planned to visit. And then on top of that, a viper came out of the fire and fastened to a man's hand. I want to talk to you about a storm, a shipwreck, and a snake. Three weapons, three attempts that the devil made to drown out the aftershock of the power of God when Paul was headed to Rome. And three attempts that the devil made that turned into three big failures. Because on the other side of all three of these attacks, Paul gathered the sticks and built the fire, and the fault line of power, the power of the Holy Ghost that was in him, shook an entire island called Malta with the power of God. How many of you believe that the power of God can still shake a city? It can still shake a state. How about this? It can still shake a nation. Come on, somebody. And even the world. So I want to jump right into this. The central character in this message and in this story is the legendary and awesome Apostle Paul. He's shipwrecked and he's shaken, but he still built a fire. And I want you to know there are times in life when you go through things, honey, you're not anticipating going through. But we need to be like Paul, even when we're shipwrecked, even when life goes sideways, even when we're shaken, we're going to go ahead and build a fire. Come on. Now, let me unpack this real systematically. I want to take you on a journey here because I can't really dive all the way in to the part where he's built a fire and shaking off the snake and all that stuff without just reviewing how this story started. Number one, Paul was shipwrecked and it was not his fault. Have you ever found yourself in life where you were shipwrecked? Where things went sideways, where life got hard and you were shipwrecked and it wasn't your fault? Can I talk to real people? Before we get into the fire, we've got to understand that the storm and the shipwreck. Because the most important thing to understand about Paul getting to Malta is how he got there. And I want to tell you, his journey is powerful. And I need to let somebody know today that I don't want you to underestimate the power of your journey. I don't want you to underestimate the power of your own story. Because one of the things the enemy can't steal from you is your story. One of the things the enemy, he can argue with a lot, but he can't argue with where you came from and what you came through. How many of you remember your own story? How many of you remember how the Lord has brought you through time and time and time again? So here Paul is, and he's like us. He's living real life. He's shipwrecked, and it's not his fault. Paul on this journey, let's dive right in. He's not a passenger on this voyage. He's a prisoner on this voyage. And he's being taken to Rome. And he says this at the beginning of the voyage. He said, "Men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss. Not only the cargo and the ship, but also our lives." Here Paul is. He had insight, didn't he? He was precise. He gave clear and right direction. And you know what happened? They ignored it. And sometimes in life, you got to deal with people. When you tell them the right thing to do and they ignore you, the centurion who was in charge of Paul listened to the ship's captain instead of the apostle, and the majority voted to sail. Let me tell you something. The majority is not always right. If the majority doesn't line up with the word, I'm sticking with the word. Can I get a witness up in here? The storm happened exactly like Paul said it would. Paul was shipwrecked due to no fault of his own. He had no vote, y'all. He had no control. He had no authority. He had no place to make the decision. He said the right thing. He warned the right people. He remained faithful, and he still wound up in a storm. And I want to tell you, I've been preaching for a long time, and I've been living for quite a while. And there are times, and one of the most painful times is where you did things right. It's where you tried to do the right thing. It's where you loved people and you were faithful, and you still wound up shipwrecked, and you didn't even facilitate or make the decision that got the ship wrecked. You said the right thing. You trusted the right people. Come on, somebody, or so you thought. You gave everything. You stayed when others left. You believed. You gave. You were faithful, and all of a sudden you find yourself. Even when you were faithful, you had to deal with people who were crazy, and you ended up in a storm. Can I talk to people who ever ended up in a shipwreck and it wasn't your fault? I've had to deal with it in ministry. I've had to deal with it in life. Maybe you're there and you're dealing with a storm in your marriage or a shipwreck with your family. You're dealing with Hurricane Blank. Hurricane Mother-in-Law. Y'all don't want to help me. Hurricane, you know the name, just put the name in there. But I'm going to tell you, for every hurricane, there is still a Jesus that's able to speak peace to every storm and give you victory. Now here to me, precious, is the most intense part of a storm. Probably the cruelest part of the storm is the voice of the enemy. It's the whisper in your ear when you're in a storm that says, "Hey, if God was really with you, if God was really on your side, that never would have happened. If God was really with you, you wouldn't have gone through that. You must have done something to deserve it. You must be deserving of your storm." Y'all don't want to help me. You only in that storm because you got it coming to you. Can I tell you this? The voice of the enemy is always a lie, especially in the storm. You can't let the voice of the enemy have preeminence in your life when you're going through things that you don't understand. You better hear me in this room today. Sometimes the loudest voice in a storm is the voice of the enemy saying, "You deserve this, you're being punished." But I came to tell you that the devil is a liar. Paul is shipwrecked, and it wasn't his fault, but the power of the Holy Spirit, the fault line, the power of God was still great in him. And I need to tell you today, the revival that took place in Malta was waiting for him on the other side of the storm. If you know the story, there was a mighty revival that broke out on the island that he was shipwrecked on, and everybody got healed and everybody got transformed. And I want to tell you today, I want you to receive this. The injustice of how you got in the storm does not cancel out the purpose and power that God has put in you. You better hear me. Your storm does not rewrite your calling. The shipwreck does not revoke your anointing, and the broken season does not cancel out the assignment. Just because you got in a storm, baby, it doesn't mean it's over. You're still anointed. You're still called. You still have a destination, and God is still on your side. Okay, I got a few people believing with me. I said you're still called. You're still anointed. And God is still on your side, and you're still going to get to your destination. You say, what are you trying to tell me, Jim Raley? I'm trying to tell you Romans 11:29 says that the gift and callings of God are irrevocable. When your situation changes, God doesn't change his mind. And your storms never take the Lord by surprise. Your purpose is still in place. God does not take his purpose back for you. He doesn't reassign your purpose because your voyage got rough. God doesn't reassign your voyage because things got hard. If the anointing on you doesn't expire, what God has for you to do, it doesn't expire just because some knucklehead in your life made a bad decision. Baby, God's calling is still on you. The anointing of the Holy Ghost is still in you, and your destiny is ahead of you despite the storm that you've been through. Can I talk to you? We can sometimes think that when we go through something, God must have changed his mind. But let me tell you, I've done this a long time, precious, and here's what I've come to understand. Sometimes, somebody say sometimes. Sometimes the storm shows you what and even who you can live without. Now, y'all are being... Sometimes, precious, the storm will show you what and even who you can't live without. Now, I've preached this many times through the years. I've been preaching a long, long time. And most people skip right over this detail in Acts 27. But I just dove into this when I read it. And it says in the 18th and 19th verse, and because we were exceedingly tempest-tossed, the next day they lightened the ship. On the third day, we threw the ship's tackle overboard with our own hands. I came to tell somebody, it might be time to lighten the ship. I'm gonna tell you, baby, I've lightened the ship, because I'm gonna want you to understand about this story. When the storm got violent enough, when it got bad enough, they started throwing things overboard. First they threw the cargo, then they threw the ship's tackle with their own hand. Everything that seemed so necessary and so essential in the calm water, they said, wait a minute, we don't need it when the storm came. Not everybody. See, they started throwing stuff overboard. All the stuff they thought they had to have. And when the water was, we got to have this, and we got to have that, and we got to have the other. But man, when the storm got enough, they said, we don't need this, and we don't need that, and we can make it without this. Can I tell you, not everything can go with you where God has called you to go. Let me say it even deeper. Not everything can go with you where God has called you to go, but also not everybody can go with you where you're called to go. Sometimes God sends the storm not to destroy you, but to show you what and even who you've been carrying that was never meant to go where God has taken you. Y'all better help me just at least say amen. Because there are some times that God has to take out of your ship and out of your journey things you don't need and people you don't need. And here, I love everybody, but I've got the 10th spiritual gift. I got the gift of goodbye. I got the gift of see you later, alligator, and a wild crocodile. But I have a destination and an assignment on my life. And I can't sit around and be worried over you sinking this ship. If I got to let you go, I'll let you go. I'll let behaviors go. I'll let things go. I'll even let people go. You ever been there? Somebody's there right now. You got to loose it. Some of the stuff you throw overboard is sin. Oh, now you're quiet now. It's compromises. It's pride. It's that version of yourself that you've been protecting. So some of that you have to throw overboard is the approval of people that were never going to be with you when you got to your destination anyway. Can I tell you this? Can I talk to young people just a minute? Some of y'all are so concerned about what your friends think of you at school. Can I tell you, I've lived long enough to know that there'll come a point where you won't even remember their name. I'm telling you, I'm 62 years old. I said 62. And I couldn't name 10 people that were in my graduating class. And you need to stop worrying about people who are not going to be with you in the long term. Young person, you need to put your, and mom and dad, we need to put our efforts and energy in people who we know are with us on this journey. I know what it is to throw things overboard, to discover things in relationships I thought I had to have were the very things that were trying to hold me back. They're very things that were trying to damage my destiny. And that's why the Bible said in Hebrews 12:1, let us, somebody say us, let us lay aside every weight. I love that he said, let us. We're wanting him to do it. But he said, I ain't gonna do it for you. You got to do it for yourself. How do you spell us? U-S. Look at your neighbor and say, who's going to throw it overboard? Look at him and say, who's going to throw it overboard? Say, U-S. Come on, U-S. Your neighbor ain't going to do it. The Lord ain't going to do it. Sometimes you got to do it. Sometimes you got to say, you know what? I am not going to sabotage my purpose. I am not going to allow the enemy to get on my ship and allow relationships that will keep me from going to where God has called me to go. Sometimes God will bring you through a storm just to break your dependency on things. To show you that it never was the job, it never was the connection, it never was your ability. Sometimes he'll do it in that way, but sometimes it'll be things. But sometimes, and we love everybody, but sometimes it'll be people. And I'm going to say something real dangerous here. Sometimes he'll break soul ties. Okay, I'm going to have to come down there and preach a little bit. Sometimes those people that have woven themselves into your life and have become soul ties that are keeping you from your purpose and your destiny, every time you get around them, they slow you down. Every time you get around them, they speak doubt, fear, and negativity into your ear. Every time you get around them, they never push you, they pull you. They are a drain. And there are times when the Lord will send a storm and say, they are not your people. You can love them and you can want them to get to heaven. I'm saying too much because not too many preachers will tell you this, but there are times when they even got your last name that you will tell them, I love you, but I'm not going to stay stuck in a storm just to make you happy. Is there anybody that's ready to lay aside every weight? Lay it aside. Get that attitude off the ship. Get that unforgiveness off the ship. Get that pride off the ship. Get that cussing off the ship. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Get that compromise off the ship. Now, the storm, it'll show you some stuff. It'll show you what you can't live without. It'll show you who you can't live without. But the third thing you've got to understand, well, let's just stay here for one more minute. The Bible says, now when there was neither sun or stars, they hadn't appeared for many days, and no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we would be saved was finally given up. Now don't miss that. All hope. Somebody say all hope. All hope was lost. Not some of it, not most of it, not part of it, but all of it. Have you ever had a time in your life when you felt like all hope was lost? Have you ever had a time in your life where you said, this is the end? I have. I'm talking about since I've been saved. I'm talking about since I pastored this church. I'm talking about since I've walked with Jesus. There have been times that I stood up to preach to you and all hell was breaking loose, especially in the early days. And I said, Lord, I don't even know what I'm going to do. I feel like all hope is lost, but don't miss this. It was at that exact moment when the Bible says that all hope was lost. It was at that exact moment that Paul stood up. When Paul stood up, he didn't wait for the storm to calm. Paul didn't stand up when the sun came back out. He didn't stand up when the circumstances got favorable. No, when all hope was lost, the fault line carrier, the anointed one, the Holy Ghost-filled man stood up. And here's what he said. He said, therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God. Somebody say that right there. Say, I believe God. Say it again. Say, I believe God. Watch this. That it will be just as he told me. God sent an angel and spoke a promise to Paul right in the middle of the storm. And Paul said, here's what I'm going to do. I believe God. I don't believe the weather report. I don't believe what the navigator said. I don't believe what the storm is telling me. I don't believe my circumstances. I believe God. And there comes a point where you have to be like Paul. Paul had a word from God. He said, an angel stood by me in the night, and I'm choosing to stake my life and my reputation on what God said. Faith is not the absence of the storm, baby. Faith is a declaration that I'm going to believe God. Some of you need to say it like you mean it. Say, I believe God. Wait a minute. Say, I believe God about my family, about my children, about my health, about my money, about that case, about that problem, about that issue, about that situation, about my future. I don't believe what it looks like. I don't believe what the devil said. I believe God. I need about 500 people that are believing God. Open up your mouth like you believe God. Let them call you crazy. Let them say you lost your mind. But I believe God. There comes a point, I feel like preaching, where you have to say, I believe God. When your son gets arrested, come on somebody. When your marriage is on the rocks, when you don't have the money to pay your bills, when everything is going wrong, when the doctor tells you one thing, but the Spirit of God has told you another, you look in that circumstance and you say, I believe God. Paul's in a storm that's still storming. He's in wind that's still blowing, but he believed God. I'm going to say it one more time. I feel like there's some people in the room, and maybe you're in a storm, but you believe God. How about this side of the church? Are you believing God? How about this side of the church? Are you believing God? Why don't we start right now and just give God an I believe God praise right now. Hallelujah. Even if the storm is raging, I believe God. And that right there, honey, that defeats the enemy. You need to say it like you mean it when you say it. You need to say it in faith. Now, here's what I want you to know. It gets even gooder. Come on now. The people who ignored Paul and thought he was crazy at the beginning of the journey, before the storm, now they're hanging on every word. Now they want to hear what the anointed man of God has to say. What you got to know is this, that the storm didn't silence the Holy Ghost-filled, God-anointed man. It gave him the most attentive audience. It gave him people ready to listen. Are you ready to rejoice? Because as much as we don't like the storm, as much as we hate the storm, you ready for this? Your storm is building your credibility. Okay, you missed it. You really missed it. I didn't miss it, but I think some of you missed it. I love you, but I think it, not you, but your neighbor. See, if somebody said that to me, your storm is building your credibility, I'd say, well, thank God, because I don't want to go through this and not have credibility. I don't want to go through what I've been through and not be able to say God's able to do exceedingly abundantly. What you got to understand is this. Now, I say this in humility and grace because it's all Jesus. Anything you see around here, any campus that you see, things that we bought, things that the Lord has provided for, souls saved by the thousands, campuses all over Florida and beyond, it's all God. But let me tell you, it hadn't come without storms. It hadn't come without hurricanes. It hadn't come without trouble. And now the very trouble that the enemy thought would destroy me and take me out, now it has become, that's part of my life where now I have credibility. Because pastors and leaders call me from across the nation and they ask me to come and speak, or they reach out to me from if I said their names, I'm always amazed about it, but it's all Jesus. And they want to know, what do you think I should do? See, the devil is so dumb because he does not understand that when it's all said and done, when I get through it on the other side, I can help somebody else get through it on the other side. How many of you are not going to survive your storm by yourself? But God, I declare that your storm is giving you credibility. It's giving you the ability to be able to speak into somebody's life. Give God a praise if you believe it. You know what I'm convinced of? Can I just be real with you? We've had a lot of victory, and to God be the glory for it. I'm always real careful, and y'all know that I want to make sure that a house packed like this with people right in the middle of the summer, campuses that are filled and running over, that God gets the glory for it. But can I be real? People have not learned the most from me from my power. They've learned the most from me from my pain. Because when it's tough, I'm able to say, you might be in a storm, preacher. You might be in a storm, daddy. You might be in a storm, mama. But I know a God that will get you through it and a God that will make a way. Somebody give God praise if you ever made it and you're going to help somebody else make it. Wait a minute. I'm going to ask you again, if you ever made it through something and now you want to help somebody else make it through a storm, give God a praise that this is what it's all about. Now, I love the 44th verse because he stood up and he said, I believe God. And then the ship crashes. I mean crashes. Ain't that a trip? When you say it's going to be good and it seems like it gets worse, Well, do I have three real people in the room? Y'all have heard what I said. Everything's coming but the kitchen sink. At least it can't get any worse. It's all coming but the kitchen sink. And then you look, and there comes the sink. Come on, somebody. The ship is broken to pieces. But look at what the Bible says. And so it was that they all escaped safely to land, some on boards, and some on broken pieces of the ship. Third thing I want to show you, precious, is this. They came in on the broken pieces. The ship breaks apart. And before it went completely under, Paul said something extraordinary. He said, if the ship doesn't make it, grab the broken pieces. He said here essentially, he said, if you don't make it, or if the ship doesn't make it, you still will. I need you to get that in your spirit. Paul didn't arrive on Malta or at Malta the way he planned. He didn't step off of a Royal Caribbean cruise ship. He didn't walk down the gangplank, tan and refreshed. He didn't walk out as God's mighty man of faith and power. No, baby, when he stepped off of that, stepped onto that seashore, he was trembling. He was cold, but he came in on the broken pieces. Sometimes it ain't how you get there. Sometimes it's just that you get there. And I came to blow the trumpet in Zion and tell somebody, you can shipwreck the vessel, but you can't shipwreck the anointing. I know I'm a little bit radical, but I'm 62. I'm not 63. And I've lived long enough to be radical about the things of God. And I'm going to say that again. You can shipwreck the vessel, but you can't shipwreck the anointing. You better give God a thank you for that. Can I talk to people who's lived long enough to know what broken pieces feel like? Can I talk to people who came in on broken pieces? Can I tell you today, I came in to most of my blessings and most of my favor on broken pieces. I came in on betrayal, broken relationships, seasons that cost me more than I wanted to pay, moments where I grabbed what was left and rode it to the shore and wondered if I still qualified. But baby, it was broken pieces, but I still got here. I need somebody that's ever grabbed a broken piece. Give God a praise for broken pieces. Tell somebody in your neighborhood, say broken pieces. Yeah, yeah, some of you arrived even to this service on broken pieces. You arrived into this season on broken pieces. The marriage broke. The money broke. The ministry broke. The business broke. The dream broke. The season broke. The trust broke. But the anointing in you stayed in place. Good God Almighty, did you make it on broken pieces? So Paul, just get all the musicians out here. We're going to have time. Y'all give our... J-Dub's on vacation, but we got this guy right here with cool hair and a Jesus hat. Give him a hand. When you got cool hair and a Jesus hat, you can do damage to the enemy. Come on, somebody. Have you come in on broken pieces? Listen, I discovered what Paul discovered on Malta. The broken pieces still got me here. The anointing stayed with me. The call was still in place. The purpose still stayed. And maybe you're here today and you feel like because of how you arrived and because of what broke you to get you here, you don't qualify for what's next in your life. You may feel like because your journey wasn't like everybody else's, you're unqualified. But Paul arrived on broken pieces and he shook the whole island. Sometimes broken pieces and places of your life do not disqualify your destiny. They deliver it. Okay, you're helping me now. I said sometimes The broken places in life do not disqualify your destiny. They deliver it. Oh, glory be to God. The enemy should have left you alone. Here's a word. Even when things fall apart, even when life gets crazy, grab the broken pieces. God didn't need a whole ship to get Paul to Malta. He just needed Paul and some old broken pieces. All he needed was Paul, shipwreck and all, struggle and all. God will use you on whatever pieces you have left as long as you've still got the anointing and fire burning inside of you. Tell your neighbor, grab the broken pieces. Come on, holler at somebody around you and say, grab the broken pieces. And I tell you this, I've had times when the ship was broke down, when the storm's been raging, and I float in, broke, busted. Come on, hood people. And disgusted, floating in on broken pieces. And it didn't look good, but I tell you what I did. I still built a fire. You about to get it. I said, I still built a fire. I came to church and I still praised him. I came to church and I still clapped my hands. I clapped in calamity. I shouted in shackles. I praised in prison. I danced in dilemma. I lifted my hands. You didn't know what I was going through, but I was building a fire. Oh, let me get real. I was broke and still tithing. God help me. I was still giving to God. I want somebody right now, if you came in on the broken pieces and you built a fire, give God a shout of praise. Somebody's in a broken season, but tell everybody around you, build a fire. Build a fire. Don't stop worshiping. Don't stop praising. Don't stop giving. Build a fire. Came in on the broken pieces, but I still built a fire. Somebody, this lady over here is getting blessed. Why don't about 1,000 of you get blessed with her? If you're building a fire right now, open up your mouth and give God a praise. You know what Paul did? He built a fire. He didn't call a strategy meeting. He didn't host a grief group. Come on now. He didn't start playing the blame game. He didn't try to figure out who was responsible for the shipwreck. He built a fire. He stripped of everything, y'all. Everything he needed. Everything he thought he had to have. It's at the bottom of the ocean because the cargo is gone and the tackle is gone, but he still had fire inside of himself. He could have probably said, God, you sent a storm. God, you wrecked the ship. God, you stranded me on an island I never planned to visit. You took the cargo. You took the tackle. And I endured 14 days of storm and darkness. But I tell you, what I'm going to do, Lord, I'm going to build a fire. Some of you got a doctor's report you can't handle. You got children you can't handle. You got situations you can't handle. But God brought Jim Raley here to tell you, build a fire. See, here's the deal. The fire was not in the ship. The fire wasn't in the cargo. The fire wasn't in the tackle. And the fire wasn't in the comfortable voyage. The fire was in him. And there wasn't a Mediterranean storm that could stop him because he had something from that upper room. No shipwreck could sink what the Holy Ghost put inside of him. And I want to tell your neighbor this. Look at your neighbor. I know we shouldn't do this because they tell us not to do this, but when have I ever followed the rules? Come on. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, say, I got a word for you. The fire in you is stronger than any storm around you. Now somebody give God praise. All right. So now I'm coming to the fifth point. when he built a fire, he's there serving the people. And when he built the fire, the snake came out. Here he is in Malta. Here he is arriving at his destination, and he built a fire, and the snake came out. Has anybody been dealing with some snakes? Okay, maybe I ain't preaching to everybody. Paul is building a fire, and the snake comes out of the heat. Number five, he's warming survivors. He's doing the right thing. He's serving the people. He had just been through a 14-day nightmare with, and the Bible said that when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened it to his hand. Now, don't miss this. The fire produced the serpent. The snake came out because of the heat, not because of the cold, not because of the darkness, and not out of a place where nothing was happening. Out of the heat, out of the fire, out of the place where God was moving. Come on, somebody. You better hear me. When you build a Holy Ghost fire, don't be surprised when the snakes come out. Oh, I feel like preaching now. I said, when you build a Holy Ghost fire, don't be surprised when the snakes come out. When you make up in your mind, I'm not going to survive, but I'm going to pursue God with all I've got, and I'm going to see his purpose released in my life. When revival breaks out, the snakes come out. When blessing comes, the snakes come out. When hunger rises, the snakes come out. Maybe you're dealing with some snakes, but you got to know hell ain't wasting its venom on people who don't have any fire. Hell reserves its most venomous assault for people that are building fires. So if the devil's been after you, it's because you're building a fire. Hey. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Now watch this. The snakes are often a sign not that God has abandoned you. It's a sign that your fire is threatening hell. Good God Almighty. I said the snakes are not a sign that God has abandoned you. It's a sign that your fire is threatening hell. Somebody raise up your hands and say, my fire is threatening hell. Now give God a praise like you mean it. I said, give God a praise like you mean it. I said, give God a praise like you mean it. I said, give God a praise like you mean it. But the very fact that you've made up in your mind you're going to build a fire, the snakes are going to come out, baby. But look at what Paul did. It came out and fastened to his hand. Now, if it would have been me, I would have said, great. I lived through all this. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all don't be super spiritual on me. What in the world? I made it through a storm, and now I got a snake. I got to contend. What in the world? I've been faithful, and I would have complained. You wouldn't have done it, but pray for me. Me and your neighbor. Look at your neighbor and say, you know it. He's telling the truth. But you know what Paul did? He shook it off. Look at your neighbor and say, shake it off. Now, somebody better help me say, shake it off. Yeah, the only reason that snake came is because you made up in your mind that you are not going to just get by. You made up in your mind that you want more of God and you're serious about the things. So shake it off. Shake off the pain. Shake off the betrayal. when God starts moving, and when the glory starts falling, and when victory starts manifesting in your life and in the house of the Lord, the snakes manifest. Every time I've had great things happen, there's always been snakes that would manifest and try to poison what God is doing. But I had to learn to shake it off. And guess what happened? Guess what happened? The same fire that the snake came out of is the same fire that killed the snake when he shook it off. I want somebody that believes that the power of the Holy Ghost is enough to kill any snake that would come out of any fire. Shake that thing off. Somebody give God a shout if you're ready to shake it off. Bring me the next point. Just bring it on the screen. Can you get there with me? Y'all be seated just for a second. See, the Bible said that the people who were watching him, they changed their minds. They said, no doubt, this man is a murderer whom though he has escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow him to live. So watch this. The snake attached itself, and then you got the interpreters. You got the commentators. Y'all don't want me to preach. Who want to sit there and say that joker had it coming? He's only getting what he deserves. He must have been a bad man. He must have been ever whatever's happened to him. Oh, you better stay away from him. He is a bad man. You know the only reason that snake bit him is because he had it coming. What you got to know is this. Whenever there's a snake, there's going to be interpreters. There's going to be accusers. There's going to be people who will have a commentary about why you're going through what you're going through. And that snake attached itself publicly. Can I say this? That snake attached itself publicly in front of everybody. So that means if the snake attacked publicly, the breakthrough is going to be public. If the snake attacked publicly, the breakthrough is going to be public. I don't know who I came to preach to today, but I heard the Lord say, get ready. God is about to kill your snake. God's about to embarrass your snake. God's about to silence your interpreters, and he's going to do it publicly. Give God a shout if you're ready. And say, neighbor, say, sit there if you want to, but I need 30 seconds to give God praise for a public deliverance, for a public breakthrough, for a public move of God. Somebody shout unto God with a voice of triumph. I'm going to go a little bit further. They said, no doubt, no doubt, no doubt, but he shook it off. And the Bible said that the people changed their minds. It said, however, they were expecting that he would swell up, suddenly fall down dead. But after they looked at him for a long time, tell everybody in your neighborhood, keep looking. Yeah, it may not be completely broke through yet in my life, but keep looking. And after they looked at him for a long time and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds. I came to prophesy and tell somebody in the room, some of the same people that preached your funeral and said God was against you, they're about to change their mind and think. God, Jesus is still alive. I want somebody right now who's ready to see all those who spoke out against your purpose, your vision, and your destiny. If you're ready to see them change their minds and give God glory, open up your mouth and give God a praise. They've been waiting on you to give up. They've been waiting on you to quit. They've been waiting on you to throw in the towel. But they're going to have to look at you and say, I changed my mind. God's really for them. God is on their side. No weapon formed against you shall be able to prosper. God, stand up, everybody. It's going to embarrass the snakes. God is going to shut the mouths of the interpreters. Now, I've got just a little further to go, but I just want everybody here that has shook anything off, that has thrown anything overboard, and you think that your naysayers who are saying no doubt, but you know that God ain't through. I want you to lift up. I mean, no matter what your children look like, no matter what your circumstance look like, no matter what the money looks like, no matter what you feel in your body, I want you right now to build a fire. You say, how will I do it? Build it with your praise right now. If you're shipwrecked, build a fire. If you're snake bit, build a fire. If you haven't seen the dream manifest, open up your mouth and praise the Lord and build a fire. I said build a fire. Your praise is your fire. Your shout is your fire. Your prayer is your fire. Your giving is your fire. Grab one, I know we shouldn't do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. Grab one neighbor by the hand and say, neighbor, I need just a minute to give God some praise. Pardon me. Give me some room. I got to build a fire. I got to praise the Lord. I got to give him glory. I don't understand why I'm in a storm. I don't understand the process, but I'm going to praise it. The devil thought that the storm was the end of your story. He thought the snake was the end of your story. But you're building a fire right now, young person. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You're building a fire. The Holy Spirit said, just give you guys 30 seconds and let you praise the Lord. Stir a little fire. You want to do it? You want to do it? Hallelujah. Glory, I feel breakthrough. I feel breakthrough for some family right now. I feel breakthrough for some family right now. I feel breakthrough in the room right now. Build a fire. Shake it off and build a fire. Shake it off and build a fire. Oh, Jesus. I love this. No, nobody leave. I'm landing this ship right now. I know Calvary's a little bit rowdy, and I know y'all love the word, and I love to preach it, and we're different. That's okay, because God's not going to bless who we pretend to be. Can I have that? Everybody give Pastor Luis a God bless you. I want y'all to pray for him. He's got pride this morning because the New York Knicks won last night. And he's got his shirt on. But here's the deal. You know, last night, people was acting crazy when that game was over. And if we get excited in the house of the Lord, they think we've lost our minds. This is a whole lot better than a basketball game. Don't be quick to judge freedom and hunger and excitement and joy. Don't do that, because you don't even know the storm that people have been in and the snakes that they fought. I love the eighth verse. It said, and it happened that the father of Publius lay sick of fever and dentistry. Paul went to him and prayed, and he laid his hands on him and he healed him. So when this was done, the rest of those on the island who had diseases also came and were healed. The whole island got healed. Every sick person, every broken, but the devil is a liar. Shake it off. I'm going to keep talking. Y'all don't know, if I didn't have this microphone, I would get a bullhorn and just preach to y'all anyway. The shipwrecked man saw every broken body, every diseased soul come, because Paul was bitten, but he wasn't beaten. Some of you right now, the enemy doesn't want you to know it, but if you'll build a fire, your whole island's about to be healed. If you'll just trust the Lord, if you'll just worship anyway, if you'll just praise anyway, I'm going to close out. I want to talk to three groups of people. I really took time to study this word. How many of y'all love the Bible? I mean, you know, I'm rowdy, but I'm going to teach the Bible. I want to speak first to those who are shipwrecked today, the ones who did everything right, the ones who did your very best, and the ones who arrived at church today not on a whole ship, but on broken pieces. And the ones who the enemy is accusing you and saying, you know, the injustice of how you got here, it just cancels out your purpose. But let me tell you, the injustice of how you came in, it doesn't cancel out the power of God that he's put in you. The calling is still on you. The anointing is still in you. Your purpose is still ahead of you. I know what it is to survive a storm. I know what it is to be shipwrecked. And if you're in a shipwreck situation, you're actually in good company. But I also want to speak to the people who still feel like you're in a storm. Somebody here today, in fact, a lot of people, you feel like, Jim Raley, I'm in a storm. You're in the middle of that 14 days of darkness with no sun, no navigation, no stars. It's where everything that you think you need has disappeared, and all hope has been lost. But right in the middle of it, now don't miss this, Paul stood up and said, I believe God. Who's got some children that are lost? Who's got some financial issues? Who needs something broken in your life? Who needs God to move? Who's real people? Who's been dealing with a storm in the last season? Just raise up your hands and say this after me. Say, I believe God. My. Say it out loud. Say it again. Say, I believe God. not my circumstances. Come on now. Not what the storm is telling me. I don't believe the verdict that other people have had against my life. I believe God. I believe what God said over my life, over my family, over my children, over my purpose. Even if I'm experiencing loss right now, I believe God. But I also want to speak to the ones who's on the shore and who are ready to build a fire. Standing on the shore of a new island, and the Holy Ghost is saying to you, gather the sticks. The enemy is watching to see. He's looking at you and to see if you survived the fire and made it through. Are you still? If you survived the storm and made it through, will you still build a fire? Hell is betting that you won't build a fire. But you know what you need to do? Prove hell wrong. I've lived long enough to know that on the other side of the storm, on the other side of the broken ship, on the other side of the snake bite, God's purpose stays in place. I want you right now. Can y'all come up? I believe that this has been a word. Somebody who received the word, give God a praise right now. I want y'all to sing this song, and then I'm going to sing over you, and I'm going to bless you, and we're going to give the last couple minutes over to the Lord. Now, the first thing we learned, I want you to be ready to sing "Let the Church Say Amen." I want you to understand this story now. Paul, just a quick review. He's going to Rome. He winds up in a storm. He's shipwrecked, and it wasn't his fault. Somebody here today, you were shipwrecked when you were a baby. You suffered abuse, maybe like me. And you've dealt with a lot of shipwrecks. Somebody's here today. You're shipwrecked, and you're dealing with things that are really not your fault. But remember, I told you that what that storm showed Paul was what he didn't need. He lightened the load. I declare that some of you are going to leave this room today, and you're going to lighten the ship. You're not going to carry things and carry pain and carry the past. Come on, somebody. How many of you are ready just to lighten the ship? Lord, whatever. And maybe you're coming in on broken pieces. Hey, I'm a living witness. It doesn't matter how you get there. Just get there. Some of you have been building a fire this morning, cold and struggling. And as you've been building a fire, you've seen the snakes, but shake them off. Because God's going to embarrass God's going to embarrass the interpreters, and he's going to kill the snake. How about that? How many of you received this whole word? No, for real. I'm going to ask you like a father would ask a child. I'm talking to you like a father in the Lord now. I just love you. I care about you. I preached a message like this because I do care so greatly for you. How many of you would say, I received this whole word. I received it all, and I needed it all. I was preaching a while back in Chicago, packed out. Man, I remember that they had people along the walls. They opened up this big, huge area in the back. Everywhere they could sit, they had a choir at that church. They couldn't even let it go down. And I preached, and the roof came off the place. Don was with me, I think, yeah. And I stepped off the stage, and the preacher, sometimes preachers talk a long time after church. He was smart. He said, I can't add nothing to this. But he had a lady step up, and she started singing this song, Let the Church Say Amen. And what it was saying, the word amen means so be it. In other words, let it be applied to my life. How many of you want to apply this whole message to your life? How many of you want to apply it to a battle that you're in right now? We're going to say amen. And I want you guys, step up, honey, and sing it. It's real easy. Just slip up your hands and sing it with me.
Let the church say amen. Let the church say amen.
God has spoken.
God has spoken. And let the church say amen.
Do you feel that? Come on, if it's over your life, you say amen right now. Go ahead.
Let the church say amen.
Let the church.
Let the church say amen. God has spoken. Let the church.
I feel like there's probably 1,200 people, maybe not everybody, but raise up your hands if you'll be one of them who'll say, let the church,
let the church say amen. Let the church say amen.
God has spoken.
God has spoken. Let the church.
Come on, say it over your children right now. Say it over your circumstances right now. Say it over your situation right now. Let the church say amen.
Let the church say amen. Let the church,
let the church
say amen.
God
has spoken.
God has spoken.
Let the church.
Y'all, I feel this. If you're claiming it, raise your heart and say, let the church say amen.
Let the church.
It's breaking now. Come on, sing it. Sing it, honey. I feel this. Because I feel Let the church say amen. He spoke over your life today. God has spoken. Let the church. God has spoken. Let the church say. So I'll finish with this, and then I'm going to speak a blessing over your life. Today feels different. If you need prayer or you want to accept Jesus, I want the altar workers to come. Stand up here in the front if you're on our altar team. I just want you to come and stand. I'm not going to give a formal altar call. Y'all know I normally do. But I feel like today is going to be different because those who come, I want you to come. Because even if the service is ending, this might be your new beginning. So I want to close with this. If you need anything, our altar team will pray with you. But I was singing that song with you. How many of you appreciate that song and you just felt it? I really felt that. How many of you received the word today? Did you receive it? It's all for Jesus. I love you to pieces. I thank God for you. I was up early this morning sitting outside on our little deck. Just couldn't wait to get here to preach to you because I felt like I could help somebody today. Did the word help somebody today? But I was standing there, babe, and I said, well, I'll just close it out. And the Lord said, just tell them, those that have been dealing with snakes, attacks, health attacks, money attacks, family attacks, life attacks, snakes, that the snake hasn't come to kill them, but to reveal what they carry, to reveal that they are anointed, to reveal the power, my power, that sits in them. The Lord said that he doesn't need a whole ship to get you to the shore. He'll get you in on the broken pieces. He'll get your daughter in on the broken pieces. Who got a daughter that needs God? He'll get her in on the broken. He'll get that son in on the broken pieces. He'll get that marriage through on the broken pieces. So I don't want you to run away from this word. I want you to keep it close this week. Maybe go back and listen to it and share it. Will you share it? Could you go on your Facebook page? Everybody share it and like it and whatever you're supposed to do. We just want people to hear it. But I want to speak a blessing over you now. I so want to see you walk in victory. I so want to see you walk out your life in purpose. It matters now more to me, I think, than it ever has, that we raise up people who know how to survive a storm and build a fire. That we're not casual, that we're committed. That's the church we're building. That's what you're a part of. But I want to speak the blessing of the Lord over you now. I believe greatly in the power of the spoken blessing. I'm going to speak it over you. Receive it for your whole family now. The Bible said life and death are in the power of the tongue. The Bible said you will decree a thing and I'll establish it. So I believe greatly in the spoken blessing. So raise up your hands right now and I'm going to bless you. Okay? Not weird. It's the word. I'm going to speak the word over your life, over your marriage, over your family, over your children. Here it is. The Lord bless you. Somebody say, I receive it. The Lord keep you. You want to say, I receive it. The Lord make his face this week shine upon you. Somebody say it. Come on. The Lord direct your path and the Lord give you peace.
Receive it.
Now all the fire builders, give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. Hey, I've been shipwrecked and I've been shook, but I still build a fire. Hallelujah. If you still build a fire, give God a praise. Listen, if you need prayer, come forward. Donna and I'll be in the back in just a few minutes. I love you so much.